Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 4th of September, recording at 8:35 p.m., and that's British Summer Time still. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today. Bit grim here in terms of stock markets. Asian markets are weak. They've been underperforming all along. Big downward break in Singapore here today. The European stock markets are showing declines of between 2 and 3%, and Wall Street is about 2.5% down as I speak. That's 300 on the Dow. So, let's see. What government bonds? They have rallied again against that background, not surprisingly. And the U.S. dollar was weaker early on and then firmed quite dramatically. And we've got the dollar index is at 78.60 right now. The euro is down to 143.34. And just give you another idea. Sterling 176.89. Metals against this background are weaker, although not sharply so. Gold is at 797 right now, and the soft commodities are mostly a bit easier. I see white sugar is up, I see coffee is up. Both sugars are up, but most of them, as I say, are down. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, one of the world's most widely read reports produced by Bill Gross of PIMCO came out today, and I'll just take the headline right off Bloomberg here right now. And he is saying financial tsunami will submerge markets unless Treasury acts. And that added to a market that was already nervous following, it's been nervous really for quite some time, hasn't it? And so we had some pretty sharp downward moves in here today, and that has really undermined or pulled the plug on my hypothesis that we were in the process of getting a second wind to the technical rally led by Wall Street. And so the net result in here is that the U.S. indices, and as of the last, as of today here, and the European indices have not only backed away from those narrow August range highs, but are also taking the August range lows out. Now, for quite some time, I've said, you know, give the upside the benefit of the doubt. I'd say for quite some time, talking about the last month or more, I've said, give the upside the benefit of the doubt unless we saw some of these stock market indices begin to break beneath their August reaction lows. Well, that's what they're starting to do. So long positions look inappropriate, and short positions, if one's going to have a position, would seem to be more appropriate. I've chopped out my stock market futures longs in here today. How far down are we going to go? I don't know, but the risk has increased that we're going to go back and test those lows. Now, this is a deleveraging. I see it as a continuation of a deleveraging process that's been going on for a very long time. It's not over, is the message that I'm seeing in here today. Now, markets are also quite choppy. It's been a lot of whipsaw action. You know, the S&P isn't all that far away from its January and March lows, but it is still within the overall downward trend. And while much of the news is much improved, U.S. dollar rally, big decline in treasury bond yields, big drop in the price of crude oil, and that continued lower here today. It's currently trading just below 108. So while that background news is continuing, the central banks, for the most part, are still on their anti-inflation fighting, are in their anti-inflation fighting mode. And a key point, and I think this really one does have to see this, that I've emphasized before, is that we do need to see a shift in emphasis from fighting inflation to stimulating economic growth. Bill Gross, incidentally, is the recipe he provided. If you haven't already seen news of this, and I've got the report on the website, so you can pick it up and comment of the day. But is basically saying that, we'll get a further meltdown because the SWFs, those are the sovereign wealth funds, and firms like PIMCO, he said he's tired of buying things because he's been losing money. And I know the feeling. And he said that really the Fed and Treasury should get involved and be picking up more of these distressed assets. Well, of course, that's just what they've been criticized roundly for doing. Bill Gross's point, is there an argument for doing so in the interests of social stability? Well, possibly, but clearly, when you get a credit bubble burst like that, it's going to be painful, and so unfortunately, it's not quite over. And I apologize for raising expectations that we were going to see an additional technical rally in here over the short term. Now, how's this all going to play out? Well, currently we would have to see breaks above those, again, those August rally highs. And really only the UK did it, and it's not maintaining that move. So we'd need to see bounces off those July lows, and I'm not sure that's going to happen. I'm in here, but I tell you, this is a market that's been full of surprises on an almost daily basis. So I think that probably the most important message of all is that if you're in the markets, don't do much. I mean, I've cut way back on my trading, and I wish I'd stopped trading almost entirely a number of months ago. Although one could easily say, well, if you'd had long dollar positions and long bond positions and short stock market positions, you would have done a lot better. Well, some of those short stock market positions, well, again, I know I look around, see people who are trading both long and short books, and the activity is so choppy in here that I'm talking about equities now, that it's very, very difficult. So, yeah, we've had a good run in the dollar. The history of currency markets is you tend to get a sprint and then lots and lots of ranging. And we've certainly seen a sprint. So I suspect the best part of that move is over, although there's no technical evidence that it's over. And those bonds have been pretty choppy overall in this move. So I think the point in which I hope to follow myself is to do less. I may open a short or two in stock market futures, but I may just say I'd rather just concentrate on watching the charts and just giving myself a further breather from trading activity in this environment. What about gold at these levels? Well, I think gold below $800. Well, let's take gold from $800. It's just below that right now. But from $800, I think you probably have a maximum of $100 downside risk. What would cause that? Well, if the dollar extended its rally by a reasonably significant degree, and there's been deleveraging all the commodity markets as well. But I think that's possibly the extent of the downside. That's not a forecast, incidentally. We've had gold come back quite a long way. as you know. So it's down over 20%. And I like gold here on a long-term basis, but I don't see it doing much on the upside anytime soon. And I think it is likely to retest those lows. Ditto other precious metals. Probably the best thing to do regarding gold for those who trade is to wait until platinum is appreciating once again, and that has given us such reliable leads in the past. Now, elsewhere, and these soft commodities, for instance, I've been given some quite bullish news regarding corn and soybean crops, but also the view that that's not in the market and it's not in the USDA forecasts yet. This is just from, I've mentioned this before, people who were in these audios were stomping around the fields and giving in reports. These are all done privately, that the yields are going to be below USD estimates. I think that the next USDA update occurs on the 12th of September, and I would be expecting, I've been told to expect downward revisions, which might produce a rally. But the trouble is, the global deleveraging is so strong that, I got stopped out of my corn position earlier in the week, and it's just a little bit too tricky. So I may sit this one. Sit the corn and soybean opportunities out in here right now. Now, how long's all this going to last? I don't know, but we've had markets under pressure and we've had deleveraging underway, not in everything simultaneously. Gold didn't peak until this year, but what we do know, and people, many of you have attended the chart seminar, and one of the things I've said is that one of the few things that you can guarantee in markets is that from time to time you will get very orderly and consistent big trends, and those will be the big money-making opportunities at an acceptable risk. And then you can also guarantee that sooner or later those very good trends will give way to very whipsaw, choppy action where it is a lot harder to perform. And volatility has been a big problem in here recently for traders, as you know. So we're in one of those difficult periods. So again, if you don't have to do anything, it's probably a good idea not to do too much. And there is good value in a number of the investment positions that I hold, I feel at this stage. So I'm certainly prepared to ride out any additional downside risk there. But I'm not adding to it either. And I could. But if I did anything, I'd be adding at this stage to those long-term unleveraged investment positions. I have confined my activities recently to some trading from time to time, but that's proving too difficult in here for the in this environment. So I don't want to, the first law of if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging, and that's what I'm inclined to do for a while. Let's just keep monitoring the charts very closely, looking at the short-term action, also in the context of a long-term view, and wait until the environment improves. It will certainly do that, but I don't know whether that's going to be next week or further down the road. What you can be certain of is I'll certainly be commenting on it every day during that journey. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.